Well, tonight I have one little sentence that's what I'm calling one of the lesser familiar sayings of Jesus. In Luke chapter 7, verse 23, Jesus adds in passing, "And blessed is he who keeps from stumbling over me." Did you know that was in the Bible? Here it is. And when we just read that verse, we were full of questions. Who would stumble over Jesus? We would think maybe his enemies would. And we'd be right. They're scandalized by our Lord. His enemies, when he was on performing his earthly ministry, his enemies, as he's now seated at the right hand of God, the nations of the world rise up against the Lord, and against, in particular, his anointed, against Jesus. So there are plenty of people that stumble over Jesus. But in this particular incident, why did Jesus say this? "Blessed is he who keeps from stumbling over me." And if we look back to verse 18, we find that the disciples of John reported to John about all the things that he had been doing. Jesus. All that Jesus had been doing, they reported to John. And here's the response of John. "Summoning two of his disciples, John sent them to the Lord, saying, 'Are you the one who is coming? Or do we look for someone else?' And when the men had come to him, they said, 'John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, Are you the one who is coming, or do we look for someone else?' At that very time, he cured many people of diseases who were blind. And he answered and said to them, 'Go and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them.'" Now, immediately before this verse 18 that refers to all the things that Jesus had done, we have something interesting. It's the notes about the centurion in verse 1 of chapter 7. When Jesus had completed all his discourse in the hearing of the people, he went to Capernaum, and a certain centurion's slave, who was highly regarded by him, was sick and about to die. And when he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders, asking him to come and save the life of his slave. And when they had come to Jesus, they earnestly entreated him, saying, "He is worthy for you to grant this to him, for he loves our nation, and it is he who built us our synagogue." I was reading that verse this afternoon, and it hit me. That's Debbie and I have been to that synagogue, and we're carrying a plaque that a placard that Dick Gresham gave to us to make pictures of. To, I think it was, celebrate a birthday of a friend, greetings to a friend. Well, anyway, Jesus, you know the rest of the story. He started on his way, and the centurion found out he was coming, and he said, "Lord, you don't need to come. Just say the word. I'm a man under authority. I know how this works. Just say the word." And Jesus did, and the slave was made well. A little bit further down in the passage here, he went to a city called Nain, in verse 11, we're told, and his disciples were going along with him, accompanied by a large multitude. Now, as he approached the city gate, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a sizable crowd from the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." And he came up and touched the coffin, and the bearers came to a halt. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. So what's the point? Why does Jesus say this? Whoever keeps from stumbling over me. We would not be wrong to think they were the enemies of the Lord. They were the unbelievers of the world. But that's not the ones Jesus is concerned about. Those aren't the ones that he's speaking about. He's speaking about John the Baptist, who had taken offense, who had stumbled over the ministry of Jesus, stumbled over the person of Jesus, because Jesus says, keeps from stumbling over me, who I am, how I behave, how I speak, how I act, what my priorities emerge as being, all the entirety of me. Blessed is the one who keeps from stumbling, and John stumbled. John stumbled for good reason. He was called and equipped by God to preach repentance for sin. And so in a sense, he wasn't really presenting a full-orbed gospel, but what we might call a preparatory aspect of the gospel, bringing people to conviction of sin. Now, if that's your calling and that's your ministry, you've got a huge target area. You can shoot in any direction and you're going to hit somebody who's a sinner, somebody who is needing to repent, somebody who, well, John calls them brood of vipers at times. That's not very kind, is it? It's not very loving, is it? It's not very appealing to those who we're hearing. But it's true. It's the truth. But it's the truth without love that's being expressed there. John was also upset with some of the rulers and how they were living and what their family lives were like, what their marriages were like. He was a crusader. And I think he expected some pretty big things from Jesus that just didn't seem to be panning out. Because here we have Jesus spending his time talking to some folks and telling them about the blessed way and the deeds he's doing. Well, who are they for? A Gentile centurion? And even more than that, his slave. Now, if you're going to try and make sweeping changes in people's lives and in cultural thing, you can't really think that you're going to get very far targeting such obscure characters as this outside the pale of the church. But that's just what Jesus was doing. Jesus was providing mercy to a few lowly people. But those merciful ministrations had mighty effect. They healed. They raised from the dead. And this is what Jesus alludes to, even adding to it in verse 22, where he mentions the blind receiving sight and the poor having the gospel preached to them. The poor are particularly targeted in Jesus' ministry. No society has ever thought they would advance. The history of the world is unbroken in exploitation of the poor. But Jesus targeted the poor and preached particularly to the poor. Now, why am I making points and why am I stopping at this verse to think about it and then share it with you? I'm in a time now where I'm looking back over almost 40 years, and I'm thinking about things I've done right, things I've done wrong, thinking about the fruit of a long ministry. And I can go back and look at the time when the ministry was all consumed. And it made me a much harder driver than I've been in latter years. And that's because I think I went through a spell where I stumbled over Jesus. I found him to be too understanding and gentle in his dealings with sinners. And there were portions of his word that I acknowledged to be there, but I thought they're pretty much there for the losers, not for me. And reading this verse, I thought, I stumble over Jesus. And I shouldn't be surprised if somebody like John the Baptist, now even though John did stumble, Jesus, you know, goes on later in this passage and tells the people, there's verse 28, he says, I say to you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Those who are greatest in the kingdom of God are not like champions. They are more than conquerors, but they don't act like it. They act like children. And children are interested in the little things that adults can think are trivial and insignificant. And oftentimes, the children are seeing things far deeper than the adults. Deeper about the life they live, the relationships they have, and even the God who made the world, including these little things that draw their attention. Jesus was not like John. He ushered in a radically different, but it was connected to John's ministry. But Jesus' ministry was a hard pivot from being strongly against sin and sinners, as John was, to being a friend of sinners, a lover of sinners. He's for sinners, he's with sinners, and he's with them to this purpose, to save them, not to vilify them, not to curse them, not to judge them. He said this, a man came not to judge the world, and he didn't. He'll judge the world in the end day, but meanwhile he came to save. That's the blessed way. And when we find that's what we're called to, in following the Lamb of God, that gave himself for the sins of others. We want to preach grace graciously. Sometimes we can preach grace stridently. And that's coming very close to, if not actually stumbling over Jesus, instead of being in step with him, trying to run ahead of him, do better. Do more spectacular things. And he's saying, look over there. That person needs you. Go see what you could do for them. And that's how the kingdom spreads. And that's how the one who does such deeds as that finds true blessing.